Hey everyone, it's Jamie Middleman, founder and host of Flamebearers, the first media production company in the world celebrating the stories of women Olympians and Paralympians. You are listening to Pro Sports Podcasters.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters. I'm one half your host, Justin Williams. And today I got the man, the myth, the legend with me, my brother from down under, the one who before this was in the kitchen making a non-Vegemite sandwich. I'm a little sad. I didn't know that he was able to not make a Vegemite. You know who I'm talking about. My brother from down under, the Australian boy wonder, Mr. Nee Wallace Bruce. Nee, how you doing?
I'm doing better now after that intro, and I must disappoint with the lack of Vegemite, but have you seen the prices of Vegemite in Toronto?
No, I can't even spell it if I'm being honest with you.
Exactly, because they'll charge you for that too, so don't even do that.
Do you know back in World War I times that they would actually charge companies per letter for, like, printing purposes?
That sounds about right.
Which is why America started, like, axing a bunch of stuff, and, like, so color has an O-R as opposed to O-U-R and all that fun stuff. Speaking of American and axing things, our guest today is from none other than Boston, Massachusetts, and her team has axed our Toronto Maple Leafs out of the playoffs like three times since 2013. Game 7's all around. I'm very sad to know somebody from Boston personally, their family, which makes it even worse. But this person's not family, but they might be PSP family. Ladies and gentlemen, this person has applied for Survivor not once, not twice, but thrice. She's still waiting on that call, and I have faith in her. Her work, though, has been viewed in over 51 countries, and 49 of them, I'm not sure. We just kind of got this information. I'm excited to hear about it, and I bet you are too. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jamie Middleman. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey team, excited to be here. I am doing awesome and even better after hearing that intro.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, first off, thanks for coming on. It's an honor to have you. Now, you had mentioned, we're going to talk about Survivor after, but you had mentioned that your work is viewed in 51 countries. For our fans who may not know who you are, tell us what you do.
Sure. So I'm Jamie. I started the first media production company specifically telling the stories of the best female athletes in the world. So we tell stories via video, podcast, and live events of women Olympians and Paralympians. And it's an honor to be able to go to bat for these women who are just absolutely killing it.
Not all heroes wear capes. And you are an example of that, my friend. You are the Boston Batwoman.
Thank you. I don't know about that. I think they're doing the hard work and I'm just trying to give them the mic, but I appreciate it.
Then you're the Boston Robin. I don't know.
Do you think I'll take it. I was always more of a Robin girl myself.
Isn't there a female Robin later on in the series anyways?
I dropped off, but there probably is.
I mean, yo, Batman gets really, really dark. We can talk about it after, but it gets really, really dark. So does Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but we'll get on that later too. I'm a huge nerd. Moving forward. Okay, so how did you get started in this field? Did you one day notice the huge discrepancy in news outlets covering women's sports, and you're like, I've had enough, damn it, I will bat for these people? Or were you kind of pushed in there from other sources?
I'll start with the professional answer, and then I'll give you the personal answer. So from a professional perspective, if you take a look at the sports media landscape, 85% of that coverage goes to male athletes. So women are up to 15%. That's still pretty pathetic. And I would call that male sports coverage if 85% goes to men. So let's just call a spade a spade. That's not sports coverage. That's male sports coverage. So of that 15% out there, pretty much all of it goes to white, able-bodied women from the global north who play soccer or basketball. Now, I'm not complaining. I am all of that. I am a white, able-bodied woman from Boston who played soccer. That said, we're trying to broaden who gets covered and how they actually get covered. So of that 15% of women who are having their stories covered, a lot of it is sexualizing females. A lot of it is painting athletes with physical disabilities with the pity brush, kind of portraying them in really, you know, sad, empowering ways of look at what all they're overcoming, even if that's not the storyline these athletes themselves want. And we're trying to tell their stories in their words. So professionally, there was a huge need. Also, my background had historically been in media. I worked for a media technology company for 5 years before going back and getting an MBA, a master's in business, and a master's in policy. And I realized that I could be the person to help fill that void. So I felt like there was a massive opportunity. No one was jumping on it. And I was frustrated with the coverage that was out there. Personally, this is sad, but I had just lost my dad to brain cancer, and he had been my soccer coach growing up and really encouraged me to go after what I wanted. And I realized that I had been a bit of a chicken with my career to date, that I had not taken big risks, that I was the person who had very much followed the career path. You know, you do A and then you do B. And after losing my dad, I realized I wanted to give this a real shot. So I think I was very lucky in the sense that I was in graduate school at the time. It's kind of hilarious. I pitched Flame Bearers as my COVID adaptation. It was supposed to be my internship. I was actually getting a master's in policy at Harvard at the time, and I had been pitching a role to the IOC, that's the International Olympic Association, and then COVID happened. The games were postponed, and no one knew what side was up and down, and I said, well, I'm not going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs. I'm going to do this on my own. So 4 years later, we are a full-blown media production company telling stories in video, podcast, live events, and we've worked with over 150 Olympians and Paralympians.
Holy snap. That was a lot to digest. But my God, first off, a couple comments. Number one, so you're the Boston, no, it's all good. So you're the Boston Robin, but also you're like the William Shakespeare of letting, of telling stories is what I'm understanding.
Well, I don't know if I'm quite as well-spoken or well-written as Shakespeare, but thank you.
I mean, I never met the dude, but I've met you. So you're already up one. And I don't think he would have an interesting podcast. I feel like that would be a horrible, well, that's going to take me down a rabbit hole tonight. But moving forward beyond that. Okay. So first off, oh, I should say second off, again, I apologize for the passing of your father. That's thank you for sharing that. I had a bit of the same story in the sense I'm a stand-up comedian as well. And my aunt had always told me to kind of go for what you want in life. And then she passed away from cancer. So at her funeral, it was more like my first ever like session set, if you will. So
wow.
It was, yeah, you know, from trials and tribulations comes the birth of what you want to do, or however that expression goes. I'm pretty sure I just botched it. Moving forward, wow. So you've done a lot within that four times. That's totally awesome. And you said you're on every like platform. Like you do podcasts, you do videos. I'm assuming there's writing involved there. Is there a branch of the media or the Fort Worth government that you won't touch?
Well, nothing comes to mind. What I would say is it depends on the athlete we're working with and the medium they're most comfortable with. So, for example, some people hate being on camera. They're really uncomfortable with it. And therefore, they feel like a audio-only podcast is more of a fit for them. Other people get really nervous. They jumble their words. They feel uncomfortable when they're asked to speak. So they prefer to write. They prefer to do social media posts, things like that. So in terms of mediums, we try to really lean in to support the athlete and what they're most comfortable with. We're not going to put someone on camera who is really uncomfortable in that medium. So it's less about trying to avoid certain mediums and more about just trying to support the athlete with whatever they're most comfortable doing.
That is very inspiring.
Yeah, I got to agree with that, what Justin said, Jamie. It's one thing to have created Flame Bearers, which we know very well, actually, because one of our most recent episodes is the Lebanese trap shooter, Ray Vassil.
Yes.
She came on our program, and I know she was one of the early guests on the Flame Bearers podcast. We've seen your growth from afar. Not only have you done it through this period, but you did it through the pandemic. Just for our listeners to understand, what was that like, the time when we were kind of locked away in some parts of the world? How did you manage to grow during that period?
Yeah, the first thing I'll say is it wasn't beautiful. It was not something to be glorified. I feel like people always look at entrepreneurs and they kind of put them up on a pedestal. It's lonely. It is, especially during the pandemic, when you're an entrepreneur, a solo entrepreneur, doing something alone, it's tough. It's I think a lot of people see the end result and they say, wow, look at how far you've come. And I said, yeah, that's cool. That's great. However, there's a lot of self-doubt, a lot of ups and downs throughout the process, a lot of chatting with people who had podcasts, reading every book behind the scenes. So, you know, in my first interviews, I don't come across as a total idiot, things like that. So the first thing that I'd like to say is, like, it's hard work and it's lonely. In terms of how I got through it, I surrounded myself with an incredible hype squad. Essentially, they're my advisory board. They're mentors, they're friends, they're colleagues, they're people who have my back and who deeply believe in the mission and work of Flame Bearers. And they helped pick me up when I was struggling. And I think it's really important, especially in a global pandemic where everyone is actually isolated, to have people you can call or chat with who are going to lift you up when you're hurting. Because it's not a matter of if you're going to hurt, it's a matter of when you're going to hurt and the fact that you can have those people at your disposal. So the tips that I would say is make sure to surround yourself with people who are going to go to bat for you and lift you up when you need them most, because that was what got me through the pandemic as I was starting out my work with Flame Bearers.
I hear that. And the team, you had that alone period, but your team, just for our listeners' understanding, how much has that expanded to nowadays?
Yeah, so started out solo. So it was me, myself, and I. I had two faculty advisors. Now it is me and we have five other individuals. So we're a team of six.
That's a beautiful thing. It's one thing to have endured by yourself, but you also had the vision that there was support needed, and you brought in the right people, and you've been able to expand from that. That's not an easy thing to grow, and I know we're approaching recessionary times, so to be able to grow during what looks like a downswing is something that has to be applauded, most definitely.
Oh. Well, thanks for saying that. You know, I think I grew up an athlete myself. When I talk to literally the best athletes in the world, I do not wear that hat. I don't refer to, you know, the time I played soccer in college for a couple years as my professional sports career. The point being, I know what I'm good at and what my weaknesses are. So when building out my team, I'm able to say I can do A, B, and C, but wow, do I suck at D, E, and F. And I make sure to surround myself with people who are really strong at the things that I'm particularly bad at. So thank you for the compliment, but major credit goes out to my team for really supporting me and helping me get through this tough time.
For sure. Now, in your initial discussion with Justin, we touched on, I guess, the percentage of coverage. That always reminds me of, I believe back in the day, not back in the day, but a few years ago, ESPN had some like 4% of coverage for women's sports.
Yeah.
Which is very ironic for a supposed worldwide leader that has a whole ESPNW division. But before we get into that, I'll leave that alone and just say it has increased to double digits, as you touched on. But we are in a time now where you're seeing outlets winding up. You're seeing outlets shuttering every week. In at least in North America, even in parts of Europe as well. How do we navigate that, Jamie?
You said shuttering? What do you mean
closing,
by that?
Closing.
Yeah.
Sorry, terminology. I go into offbeat terminology. Justin can attest to that for sure.
No, I love it. Yeah, you mentioned the 4%. That was the most widely cited statistic until Wasserman came out with a new report this past year where the number jumped to 15%. But you're right. Like, the most widely cited statistic in terms of women's sports media before that study had been 4%. And it had been that way for pretty much the last 30 years. So not a lot of progress. It's definitely a super challenging time to be in the media space. We're seeing a proliferation of opportunity for individual creators, where anyone can be a journalist or an iPhone if you, or a photographer or a videographer if you have an iPhone. You can literally go out and become a creator. And I think that is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it's democratizing something that had historically been only made possible to a certain number of people. It's challenging because a lot of news organizations and media outlets are outsourcing their jobs, are now having independent contractors work for them and not having full-time employees. I am hoping, though, that as we are seeing an increasing demand in women's sports, we're going to see more interest and support for companies and media organizations like our own who are spotlighting those women athletes. So, yes, it is sad to see companies shuttering or closing their doors. That said, I believe that what we're doing is different than what they're doing. So we're not seeing organizations like myself who are, or Flame Bearers who are focusing specifically on women athletes really shutting down. We're seeing a massive surge in support for companies who are supporting this whole group that has historically been ignored or not covered. So I think what we're seeing at a high level is a shifting of priorities culturally and people saying, yeah, I actually do care about those stories, even if historically they've been overlooked.
Indeed, and that's a beautiful thing. And I guess as part of that, Flame Bearers came up during the Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic cycle. That was a different time. It's a time where access on the ground is very limited. We're now going into the current cycle for Paris, Olympic and Paralympic Games. What's changed for you in that time?
So much. What I always like to start off with is the fact that my attention originally, and before I started Flame Bearers, I thought it was going to focus specifically on just Olympians and women Olympians. And I actually have to credit one of my faculty advisors for challenging me to include the stories of Paralympians. And when I started this work 4 years ago before Tokyo, didn't really have a lot of familiarity with the Paralympic community, with athletes with physical disabilities, how the words people use, equitable access, things like that. I now consider myself, I'm not an expert by any means. I do not have a physical disability, but I do consider myself pretty well versed in the language that a lot of athletes with physical disabilities use and how to approach those conversations. So I think that's a major thing that has changed. I think going into this Olympic and Paralympic cycle, I now have 4 seasons under my belt. So I think I'm coming at it from much more of a position of power than I was 4 years ago when I was approaching this as a new business owner. And frankly, someone who didn't even think it was going to be a business, but thought it was going to be my summer internship that later turned into a business because I realized this has legs. So I think for Paris, I'm very much approaching this from a position of, I know what I'm doing. I feel confident in the conversations that I'm facilitating. And I really want to be a part of elevating the stories of women who otherwise would not be given the time of day. So I'm really excited for Paris.
Indeed. Justin's fluent in French, aren't you, Justin?
Yes, I am. It's one of my 2 skills in life. The other is not being skilled.
Well, I don't speak French, so maybe you can help me out there.
I will walk with you and translate the whole way. I will be a contract worker for you.
Deal.
Yo, if it gets me there, I'm down. Why not? But we'll talk that after. Moving forward. Okay. So this is a bit of, as a business owner, this is a bit of a more business kind of perspective. But have you or will you incorporate any form of AI into your company regarding, I guess, interviewing athletes or any sort of promotional manner?
Such a good question. Yes and no. So we currently use AI for idea generation, for things such as looking up statistics, and then, of course, we fact-check them, or looking up athletes who we may not know a lot about to figure out stats about them or to figure out how to contact them. So, for example, I would say, ChatGPT, provide me with a list of 20 female Olympians who competed in the Tokyo Paralympics who are from South America. And this is all information that you, of course, have to fact check. But that is a helpful starting point for me to look them up to familiarize myself with athletes who I may not have encountered otherwise. That said, we're not using AI on a daily basis for content creation. I feel like we still like to be the human element is still very important to us. But I think ChatGPT and AI is a great place where we've found success from an idea generation perspective.
ChatGPT is great for that. We have done it ourselves in terms of content, like ideas to come up with.
Right?
But then, yeah, of course. But then, like, so for our channel, we tend to do skits sometimes. So I might come up with the idea, but then I'll write the skit. I'll be like, oh, that's such a brilliant idea. And then I'll go for the skit, and then I'll do it myself. Because I find ChatGPT doesn't really write scripts that well. I'll be like, give me a 15-second blurb, and it'll be like an hour. And I was like, wow, you wrote me a whole docuseries. Thank you. But
it is pretty cool.
Right? And I don't know. It's a great resource. And like I teach computer engineering in high school, so we understand that it's not going anywhere. It's like a cell phone. Like, it's going to be the next wave of technology. You can lean into it, or you can do what BlackBerry did, and you can lean away.
Yep.
So we're leaning into it and embracing it and using it for whatever. Like, our logo right now was AI generated. And I think when Nee and I started this company back with a former member of ourselves, we had to pay somebody to design a logo. And it was good. Don't get us wrong. But that's money that we can now save and utilize and push back for marketing and all that fun stuff. So... long live AI until it takes us over eventually in like 20 years.
Yeah, I'm very much a proponent that it's one of those things that can make us better and can make our days more efficient and allow us to focus on the things that we really care about.
Oh, exactly. It frees up so much of our time. Okay, now we're going to get too political with it, but this is the argument of job markets. But again, we'll get to that on a different time. This isn't the podcast for that. So, you had mentioned the Olympics are coming up. We love that for you. We love everything that's going to come up with this. Is there a sport that you haven't covered yet, but you oh so wish to cover?
Ooh, that is challenging. So one thing that I would say is we tend to actually focus on the person more so than the sport. So we are not trying to compete with an ESPN, an ESPNW, a NBC. We're not doing Olympic coverage in the sense that we're not talking about the upcoming match and who's beating who. We're really focused on the human interest part, who the person is, who the athlete under the jersey, the beating heart underneath the jersey that they're wearing. And we do that because we're never gonna compete with an ESPNW. That said, we do think stories are what people relate to, and it's how you get people's attention. A couple of athletes who I'm dying to work with. Number one would be Simone Biles. So Simone, hey, if you're here listening, hit me up. I would love to work with you. We have worked with a number of gymnasts, but I think Simone is an incredible example of someone who's prioritized her own mental health. So I would love to work with her. Naomi Osaka is another individual. We haven't done a lot of work with tennis players. So those would be my number one and number two.
I mean, when this comes out, we have no problem tagging them. Should they see it and yeah, exactly, and get to this far into the podcast? I mean, you know, so be it. So be it. But, you know, anything is possible. It's always how does that expression go where it's like it's crazy? A dream is crazy until you live it or do it or something like that. I don't know. So many famous quotes that I just can't misquote. But
I don't know, anyways. But I like it.
The butcher Justin Williams version.
I'm fine with it.
Oh my God. We're gonna have a great time in Paris. All right, Jamie. So before we get you out of here, how can our friends, family, and my mother find you and Flaming Bears on social media?
Sure. So our website is flamebearers.com. That's flame as in the thing in the Olympic torch, bearers as in the people who bear the flame, flamebearers.com. You can also find us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, LinkedIn, Flame Bearers again. If anything I said today resonates with you, we have a collaborate button on our website. You don't have to know exactly how you want to work together, but you can say, hey, Jamie, what you're doing is really cool. I want to be a part of it in some way. Fill it out. If it's a 3-minute form, if that takes too much time, shoot me a note. Jamie@flamebearers.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Wow. I think we should start including that into ours too. Be like, if you want to reach out to us, fill out this Google sheet. That'd be great.
Right? Because oftentimes people are like, I loved what you're doing. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to, I can't do A, B, and C, but here are 10 other things that I could do. And we don't want to block those people out. We want to say, hey, yeah, there's a way for you to get involved too.
Exactly. Also, as a teacher, I use Google Sheets all the time. I mean, Google Sheets, Google Forms all the time. It's great
for
like a
take. I love Google Forms.
Oh my God. Such a good take home test too, where it's like you failed the test. You can do this one at home, open book, but if you get 100 on it, the max you're getting is a 70. But anyways, well, thank you so much for coming on, Jamie. It was a pleasure having you, and we have to have you back again sometime.
Deal. Thank you for having me, guys.
And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Source Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.